Okay. Well, thank you for being here. I'm going to go ahead and just let's go ahead and start introductions. My name is Don Soto, council member.
Liz Stone, council staff.
David Jordan, council staff and committee co-chair.
Eric Brown, council chair.
Great. Thank you for being here. If you go ahead and take a look at the draft agenda. There's no quorum for committees, is there?
Not really. Just, I mean, it's not. And this is a work group. Mm-hmm. So.
Is that okay with you?
Oh, yeah.
We'll go ahead and approve that through consensus. Let's go ahead and look at the draft minutes from, that was last week, right?
Yeah.
I did look at them briefly. Any suggested changes, revisions, additions?
No, I guess we need to make a motion. We just accept them, right?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and accept it during, via consensus. Public comment, we don't have any public here. Cool, so we go ahead and just jump back onto the survey tool that we were looking at last time we were here. And I think last time we were here, we stopped off.
We stopped at question 20-21, but if I can suggest we look at, so I made the suggested changes to the newer, the
did
new
you make
version.
Some changes already?
Yeah, so there's a survey printed out that we brought that has the changes, most of the changes made.
Okay.
So you'll notice that they're added some stuff under question 13, I changed the phrasing around medical insurance versus medical benefits, but specifically I feel like the meat of it is starting on question 17, what best describes your living situation? So if you want to just glance at that and see if that sort of fulfills our what was suggested in the conversation, or if there's anything that needs to be tweaked on that one.
Do we get rid of homeowner?
Oh, I meant to.
Cool. Oh, then we went into, okay.
Hmm?
Then it goes into the specifics that we talked about on 18.
Yeah, so 18 is, based on my notes, that's what we ended up with as far as homelessness options. I don't know if there was anything else anyone wants to suggest.
So if somebody was in a skilled nursing facility, would we just consider that inpatient? No, that wouldn't be inpatient treatment, maybe respite?
I think that we differentiated between inpatient treatment facility as primarily mental health and substance
right.
use.
So
and
somebody
medical.
Was at like Buddha Honda.
Yeah, I guess I could switch, add respite and inpatient, like, or skilled nursing. I can make it like skilled nursing / respite.
Okay. Skilled nursing facility.
Okay. And then question 19, I still am mildly concerned that that's going to be challenging for people. And I literally was thinking about this as I went to sleep last night and trying to decide
yeah.
if this is a question that is, oh, he did actually make it. Is it going to be off-putting for people, even though there's a disclaimer that, like,
you don't have to answer all
you don't have to answer the questions if you don't feel comfortable. Please, if you don't feel comfortable, don't lie, but just give me don't answer.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it better to save this for
a different kind
the qualitative, like facilitated conversation? But that said, in the focus groups versus the one-on-ones, we're not really going to... I feel like that's not a question we're going to be able to ask a group comfortably. People aren't going to want to say that out loud in a focus group, so I'm leaning towards leaving it on the survey.
We're putting another button on there. It's, you know, people don't want to answer or decline or...
Yeah, or just, I mean, they've been told, they will have been told, like...
They're paper surveys, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so if you don't want to answer, just leave a blank. Thanks for coming. I'm going to just give us, for the record, for the recording...
Let's go ahead and say your name.
Oh, Enrique was my friend back
here. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
We're looking at the survey, and I made changes to the survey based on last meeting.
Okay.
We're on question 19, which is sort of that tail end of where we ended up last time. And I was just discussing sort of pros and cons of having such a blunt question. That could potentially be challenging for people. My sense is that it's probably best to do it in the survey as opposed to in the conversation, but is that, we're agreed on that? Okay, so 20, 21, 20 remains the same, 21 is the addition of
areas.
I added, I mean, there's a lot of neighborhoods here. Some of them I feel like are not going to be, there's not going to be a lot of people living, you know, in some of these places. But, and as you can see, I grouped sort of Sunset, Outer Sunset, Richmond, Outer Richmond, and some other things like North Beach, Chinatown, Pack Heights, Marina, Portola, Visitation Valley is like individual, Bayview, Hunters Point.
It would be if you check number 18, right? Number 19 is the exchange sex for shelter.
Oh, it should be actually if you check San Francisco number 20.
Oh, 20. Check San Francisco.
Does this feel like it's satisfied what the group's intent was previously?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, 22... this is a new question. If you're paying rent, what percentage of your monthly income goes towards rent? I wasn't really sure. I sort of was on the fence about should I just make this like more than 50%, less than 50%, or to add a variety. I feel like most people are not always going to know what percentage they're paying, you know, especially if they have a subsidy that in some ways is invisible to them.
Yeah, it fluctuates based on, you know, what reported income.
So, I mean, and this is going to be sort of, but this is all also in some ways their self-perception of what that means.
Yeah, and they could just choose whatever figure is closest to it.
So do we think breaking it down by 10% up to more than 60 is effective, or should I change it to something more sort of like above this level, below this level?
I think it's simple enough.
You think this is workable?
I mean, the only other thing, and if we squeeze it in, would be just to ask, do you know, if you're on the subsidy, do you know what time? Again, don't need to know, but if, you know, are you on Shelter Plus Care, are you on Housing Choice Voucher, what's left to HOPWA, gives us perhaps a better idea where some of the information might live that's being reported to other departments or agencies.
Yeah.
So no, I was just stretching. Yeah,
I'm just trying to think about exactly how to phrase that.
I think for the purposes of the council, I don't think it so much matters to us what subsidy they have, it's if they have a subsidy or not. If some, I mean, again, some folks, this is self-report, don't know what subsidy they might have, or they might be in like Dawn, they don't know that that's actually already subsidized.
Right. Yeah, I actually would remove the subsidy question, I think.
Yeah.
But I can add it back and just say, like, Are you receiving a subsidy? Yes, no, don't know.
Or you can say, like, so a lot of times the clients don't know exactly what a subsidy is, like, as far as, like, what their income or gets paid. So I think you can say, are you part of a program that helps you pay for your rent?
Okay.
Or housing assistance.
Or something like that that's a little broader that doesn't necessarily, you know, get them to pinpoint exactly what type of subsidy they get.
Okay, so where we left it off was about here, 23. So I did, in my notes, have under 20 and 21, which previously was 20 and 21 is now 23 and 24, basically trying to get at the history of homelessness and how long they've been homeless, or because I think there's two different questions there. There is, if you are homeless currently, how long have you been homeless, and how long have you been experiencing periods of homelessness? Because I think that's what we see a lot of times, is it's cyclic in nature. People get housing, would sometimes get stable permanent housing and lose it because of, you know, behavioral challenges, mental health, substance use challenges. But how do we sort of struggle with phrasing that question? It's like, interested in thoughts on...
Sorry.
No problem.
We did discuss this one last time. I think folks were okay with the timelines that you had here.
Right, but that question needs to be changed slightly. So I think the question of, have you ever been homeless, lives in a shelter, should be, are you currently homeless?
Mm.
Maybe? Yeah. And then, if so, how long have you been in this situation? As 24?
Then that's not going to capture anyone who may not be homeless at the time, but has been.
Right. So that's was my next question, is like, how do we phrase a sort of like trying to get at, like, what has been their history with sort of like periodic and cyclic homelessness, and how best to sort of what data works best for us, what and how best to phrase that question.
Could always go back and ask the same question in the original way that it was sent, so that way you get the people that are current and the people that had a history. I don't know how confusing that would be. I think it would be really that confusing. So that would just tell us how many of the folks that we've recruited are actually self-identifying as homeless at the time. Did we ever ask something like that?
Or like, if you're homeless?
We did. We have asked, like, what best describes your housing situation? And so there's options there for sort of like, there's even things like supportive housing. So there's.
We asked that question. Ready? Do we need to ask that? Can we just leave it as to? Can we leave it as the direction of the history of it then? Because we've already asked that. The only thing that we're not getting from this question here, in terms of what best describes their living situation is how long they've been in that situation.
Yeah. I guess here what I'd like to see is maybe... So we're saying if you are, like, as defined in the sort of earlier part of the survey, homeless versus, you know, living on an SRO, living in permanent supportive housing, inpatient care, all those other things. So we're saying, like, if you are right now homeless, how long has it been? And then if you have experienced periods of homelessness, like if you are currently housed but have experienced periods of homelessness, what is your history? Like, I guess I think that the only real way to get to this is going to be through conversation, because it's such like a, there's variables, but I'm trying to get like at, like from a numbers perspective, like how long have you been dealing with sort of the cyclic homelessness, periodic homelessness, as opposed to your current homelessness?
Could we maybe move that question 23 and 24 after 18? Because you're already asking them in that section about homelessness and their current living situation, so I think it kind of just kind of flows a little better what you want to...
Sure.
How you ask it, it might vary, but I feel like it's better before you start talking about what you were doing inside a little bit.
For sure.
Or give it a period in time. So, like, we're operating sepsi wants to see episodic stay. So how many times in the past 18 months have you been homeless? So I don't know if that's gonna meet the challenge or not.
Yeah, I mean, if we move this over to right after question 19 or whatever, then we can say... I had it and I lost it.
We'll come back.
Well, so I guess you can make it like a kind of like a flow chart. When you ask them, you know, 17, Eric, what's your current situation? If they're homeless, you already know they're homeless, so then you can ask them, how long have you been in this situation? And then it could be another question for the people who may not have answered homeless, that you can ask them, have you ever been homeless in the past? And if so, you can ask them more.
Okay.
So 24 could be a follow up to 17 if they say homeless.
So I could like put in a new 18, but the question between 17 and 18 as it stands, and saying,
how long in that current situation?
Yeah.
How long have you been in the current situation?
Yes.
From the previous question? And just give them the sort of time frame here, 6 months, year, more than a year,
yeah,
more than 5 years, maybe more than 3 years.
There's a big gap between 1 and 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 would probably be good.
And then...
Then you can ask what 23 was right after that.
Right. So... Right. And then following that, like, if you marked homeless, or have you experienced... Just, I'm struggling with like making sure it's going to be very clear to them what we're trying to get across. So how long? And then,
because you're asking, the first time you're asking, are you homeless? Yes. How long have you been in this current situation?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're asking after that, you're following up saying, have you been homeless in the past? And then they're going to tell you sort of like a different history, right? So they may have had other history of homelessness in the past, and then you
So if you check, if you did not check homeless in question 17, have you in the past been homeless?
But then you wanted to get that answer out of everyone, right? If they've been homeless in the past, or do you only care about people who are homeless?
Well, I guess we could ask everyone, but I feel like it gets a little confusing there, because if we're saying, if somebody checked homeless on question 17, then you're saying, have you been homeless in the past? Then the answer is, well, I was homeless yesterday, so that counts as the past. And it's not getting that sort of like periodic, like, I was housed, and before that I was homeless. Whereas everyone else in this question is basically saying, yes, I am in some way housed, but previously I was homeless. Whereas for the people who checked homeless on this, we're not giving them there's not having that variation of like, you know, I was previously housed and before that I was homeless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which makes the question a little bit like, it lacks specificity.
Right. But I guess like the question is asking more specific. When you're asking about the length, you're asking about the specific situation, right? So they could be homeless living in a shelter or transitional housing. So in the past, they could have been, you know, like they may be living in transitional housing now, but mm-hmm. in the past, they may have been just completely on the street.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much detail we need to get into.
I guess what I would like to know is, so, I mean, the people who checked homeless on question 17... it's a little harder. I feel like because it's because their current state is sort of what we're asking about.
Yeah.
But what I also want to know is for all the people who aren't currently what we're terming homeless for the purposes of the survey, have they been homeless in the past? Our assumption is probably yes, but when? Or we could just ask, have you been homeless in the past? Because that gives us a sort of like, for the people who did not mark homeless, you know, so like 80% of them have reported previous homelessness.
Yeah.
And that at least gives us some working data. Whereas if we ask them, I feel like if we ask them a question that is too specific or too confusing, then we get no data. So we're riding that line between like broad enough that is... we get actual information and not so granular that the numbers are so small that it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, because I feel like you can, after homeless, you can have like, if yes, ask this question. If no, then ask them.
Yeah. Or we could just ask a follow-up question that says like, not about homelessness, not homelessness. For what length of time have you been experiencing housing instability, which includes homelessness?
Or when the last time you were homeless? And that actually is, you know, a question that's out there. Have you been homeless in the last 90 days? And it starts to build from there. And yes, right, they could be homeless yesterday, which would be the question, when was the last time you were homeless? Make it more complicated or less complicated. I mean, it's trying to get through the process.
Yeah.
And how much information they're going to want to share and how much attention they're going to pay to completing this survey. It's both of those you're going to probably talk to.
Yeah. I mean, it's... So the sake of clarity, when we do the focus groups, generally... I will basically begin by sort of explaining to people what the purpose of the group is, and then hand out the surveys at that point and ask them to begin filling them out. When I start to see a sort of critical mass of people sort of done, then I begin to facilitate a conversation about quality of life and move that into challenges, barriers to care, service utilization, and so forth. Because we're not just this, needs assessment is not just about homelessness or housing. It is about how homelessness and housing instability affects their ability to access services as a Ryan White Part A consumer. So I'm not going, I don't see their surveys at all until the whole thing is completely done. On the other hand, when we do the one-on-ones, what I generally do is I have them sit down and fill out the survey, and then then they wrap up the survey, and then I have them do a service category prioritization exercise, which I also have big groups do at the very end. I have them do the prioritization exercise. While they're doing that exercise, I read through their survey, and then we have the conversation. So I have the context of the survey for the conversation. So I end up being able to pinpoint a little more carefully in those one-on-ones exactly what their issues are, just based on that. So it does make it easier to sort of address, like, whether there's that, to have that conversation about periodic homelessness. So there, we get very different kinds of data from the qualitative, depending on whether we're doing one-on-one or in a focus group. So for the one-on-ones, I think it could be very helpful to have that question in a more specific way. But for the focus groups, I feel like it could potentially damage the data, because they're, I think it's, because we're not going to be able to really address it in a way that makes sense.
On the broad, in your past experiences with the old survey, have people been more apt to cooperate, add a little bit more in the larger focus group, or have they just like, okay, I've done this, I'm getting my stuff, and I'm getting out of there?
You know, it depends on the group, depends on who I'm doing it with, depends on who my collaborating partner is. So if I have, you know, generally we make these groups, the focus groups, so that they dovetail with an existing intervention, like a support group or something along those lines. And, you know, generally whoever the support group facilitator is will sort of sit in to help with a little bit of classroom management, but also sometimes help facilitate the communication. And some people are really great at sort of keeping that ball rolling and understanding the personalities in the room, and some people are not so great at it. So they're you know, times where I'm like, we get just amazing information from a group, and they're very open and willing to like have that conversation and share with each other because they're used to sharing with each other.
Okay.
And sometimes if it's a little more ad hoc,
not so much. If we were to design this for the not so great folks,
which I feel like we have to.
Okay, so then what do we need here to draw that out? So
I feel like the way to do it is to make it more broad. So basically just ask like when was the last time you were homeless? If yeah.
And also too, like if you're saying that the purpose of this is sort of to figure out how that affected their services, like is that something you're going to ask as part of the focus group, or is that something you can incorporate into this?
Probably both. Probably put it in here, but then also discuss it so that we have a deeper understanding of like why that is, like why that what is the cause of those episodes of homelessness.
What if you do like 18 if you checked homeless in question 17, and then the next one if you did not check homeless, when was the last time you were in this situation?
That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah.
And you can still do how long have you been in the situation for the other.
Yeah.
That's easy.
So how long have you been in the situation? And then follow-up question, if you did not check homeless in question 17, when was the last time you were homeless? And then the next question is, if you checked home, if you did check, what is your situation?
It works.
Okay, so
it's not homeless. It works in my brain.
I know it's hard. When you get so deep into these things, it's hard to sort of like look at it fresh and think about like how somebody is actually going to perceive the question, which is why it's helpful for me to have fresh eyes and look at it every year and fine tune these questions.
Could we move the never to be the first option?
Never.
See, if you're asking when was the last time you were homeless, and they're going to read through all the options and then never is all the way to the end, I just think it's easier.
Yeah, I think that it's there because the previous version of it made more sense. But I think in this way we can move it there. Yeah.
And we're going to add 3 years, right?
And change it from 5 to 3, yeah. Or do you want me to leave 5 in?
So you can leave 5 in and just put 3 in.
Go 1, 3, 5.
3 plus or 5 and then beyond.
Okay.
I think with the other ones, the 1, 3, 5 works too.
So that means we're going to be bumping down. What is question 19 to after? When was the last time you were in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
So change this to 3. Okay, I'm mildly concerned about having the sex for shelter question right next to the incarceration question. I feel like it's... I feel like we should potentially move that incarceration question back down. Maybe go from that to mental health.
There's a break, right? Like you asked that on 19, and then you're still asking 20, 21, and then 22.
I'm asking percentage. Yeah, that's true. I can add the have you ever traded sex for shelter, and then ask the if you're paying rent, what is the percentage, and then do you have a subsidy? Yes, no, don't know. And then go to incarceration. So both of those, maybe I'll change, 5 to 3 there as well. And mental health. Do we need to be, so this, that piece was in there because last year we focused on people with mental health challenges.
Mm.
Do we feel like we need to, I don't necessarily feel like a diagnosis needs to be in this survey necessarily. And I feel like it's a thing that we can cut.
Yeah, I don't know what it would do for us to get to that.
I think it's important to
ask,
I think we can ask them, is mental health a concern for you?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we need question 28. And then have you ever received mental health care? I think can stay in, but where or what type is not necessary, yeah?
No.
I think the self-medication question is can stay in.
But what are you trying to capture with mental health?
I think that there's a huge intersection between homelessness, mental health, and substance use, and incarceration. And I think that I'm having these questions in there can potentially show us, like, because we're looking at, like, those variables about, have you been, like, are you chronically homeless? Are you a substance user? Have you been incarcerated? Is mental health a challenge? How do those things intersect with each other? And do we see variances in those intersections?